Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and I am broadcasting live from San Francisco, California today. I also wanted to let you know we have got a fabulous guest. We've got a guest that's going to talk about one of our favorite subjects. Oh, I know it's one of yours. It's about wealth and abundance. Obviously, they go hand in hand, and we're going to find out how we can empower ourselves to enjoy that to a greater degree than we ever maybe thought was possible. My guest today is Ron Willingham. Ron, I want to welcome you to this broadcast.
Thank you, Donna. It's my pleasure.
I am so impressed with your background. You have authored so many different books regarding money and dealing with integrity and how to sell for the 21st century. However, you're a man that came up through the ranks the hard way.
That's correct.
A person that really represents the American dream. For anybody on any level of life, you're saying, if I can do it, you can do it too. Tell us about your story. You started out in Texas. Tell us about your background and what you had to go through to be able to reach
where
you are today.
Well, I grew up in a very low-income family. We lived in a very tiny little four-room stucco house on the outside of the city limits of a West Texas oil town. I had two sisters, and my bedroom was in this small kitchen. I had a half-rolled-away bed that folded up. We put in a corner at night and pulled the chrome dinette out to eat, and then at night we pushed the chrome dinette in the other corner and opened my bed up, and that was my bedroom. And I was always very embarrassed about that, and I never understood why we had to live like that. From the time I was about 13, I got up each morning at 4 o'clock and loaded bread trucks and went to school and then rode them on Saturdays and holidays and summers. And always had a paper out after that. I'd get up at 4 in the morning and load the trucks and ride them and get back in about 4 and go run my paper out. That was kind of standard living. You know, that's what I thought you had to do to survive. I paid my way through college and always wanted to be in business for myself. You know, you look back at all those years and they were wonderful blessings. Created a lot of desire. I wanted to improve my life and really go past anyone in my family who never had any hope of the future.
You've made a very profound statement right there. The adversities that you went through gave you, unlike the other members of your family, gave you that drive and that determination that your life was going to be different than what you had experienced. Now, you had a couple of other disadvantages. You had a terrible time when you were in school. You didn't pass tests very well. You couldn't remember dates and facts. And you really were not interested in the academic world.
I couldn't pass tests. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s I understood I had a learning disability. I can't read something and regurgitate it. So courses like history and a lot of math and things like that required memory, I couldn't do it. I couldn't remember it. And so I struggled to go through school. In college, I barely had a C average. It was only when I got into psychology and business courses, economics and some things like that I began to make good grades. I made A's in psychology. I aced it. So, you know, it's all kind of interesting to look back at all that.
So one of your skills that you had for all of this difficulty with this learning disability that you learned about later on, which was the reason you could not do certain things very well, you were able to take things that seemed to be rather complex and reduce them into simplicity. And that was a skill that you had inherent within yourself, and you were able to develop that. In fact, you have taught other people how to develop themselves. You developed your own educational system.
Yes, that's correct. 42 years ago, I was going broke in a little retail business I had started, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and a friend told me I should get into training. I knew nothing about it, but he convinced me I could put a leadership training course together and conduct it. And having no other options, I sat down to put a leadership training course together, not knowing what it was, and I just knew what to do, just instinctively. And so I put this 12-week course together, and we begin to see magic happen in people's lives. The first course I conducted, I'll never forget it, we had a physician in it. And he was very arrogant and very standoffish, and about two-thirds of the way through the course, as they really began to bond and develop close relationships, he admitted that he was on the verge of suicide at the beginning of the course.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And that he'd moved past that because of the relationships he developed. And one by one, these people in the course began to have these things happen, and I was blown away. And it was just a gift that God gave me at the time. That's my explanation for it, because I never had it before. And since then, I conducted those courses myself for 4 years, and I began to train other people to do them. And fast forward, we have trained over 27,000 facilitators to conduct courses I've written. The last couple of years, we had courses written in 80 nations. We've had somewhere in excess of 1.5 million graduates in them.
Wow.
So, you know, good things occasionally happen from very strange beginnings.
They do, and that leads me into your book. Now, I have to tell you, when it comes to fiction, I think it's wonderful. I enjoy fiction just as much as anybody else does, but typically on my programming or through with my programming, I delve into nonfiction because I think the realities of life are just phenomenal, and so often they're even stranger than anything you could put together fictitiously.
Mm-hmm.
But I absolutely loved your book, The Ten Laws of Wealth.
You know, it's interesting. That's the 12th book I've written, and it's the first fiction book, and it's a totally different format than anything I've written before. And I started about 20 years ago, actually, and what really got me started quite a number of years ago as I was building my business. A young man came in my office one day who headed our shipping department, and he was the lowest paid male employee we had at that time, and he very excitedly told me that he just bought a new Oldsmobile and paid cash for it. And I thought, that's interesting that he could save enough money to pay cash for an automobile. Well, the next week, our executive vice president came in, who was the highest paid male employee we had, and he wanted a payroll advance to make a down payment on a new Cadillac. And you can imagine you can imagine the thoughts that flashed through my mind. You know, I began to ask myself some obvious questions as I crossed my eyes and stared into space, and that is, what's going on here? What is the difference? And I began to notice that, and to really especially notice how people handle their money, how they view money, who has money, who doesn't have money. And it has almost nothing to do with how much they earn. Isn't that a paradox?
That is a paradox, but that is something, if you think about people that win the lottery, how many of us would sit and daydream and say, oh, if I had $50 million or if I won that $210 million lottery, well, that would be great. It would take care of me for the rest of my life. Yet the statistics on that are that most of the people that win lotteries, it's gone within 5 years. They have nothing left. They're right back to where they were before they won it.
Yeah, and often suicides. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I didn't know about that aspect of it.
There is a higher incidence of suicide in people like that than the general population, I understand.
So,
but it is fascinating. but you know what caused that? And so I began to really think about that and look at it. And one of the books I read many, many years ago was Benjamin Franklin's autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a version then that was in the old version, the old language. You can't buy that now, but everything is in a more modern language when you buy his autobiography. And And I was fascinated with his life. I was fascinated how he started off. I was fascinated with his genius. I was intrigued with some of the very practical things he did to develop himself. One of them was that he designed 13 what he called virtues that he wanted to develop stronger in his life. And he made a little booklet. He was a printer, and on the left-hand column he had these 13 virtues written, and then out beside each one was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And he would spend a week practicing one of these things, each day evaluating his performance, go to the next one, 13 weeks, start over again. He did that for 30 years. And he made the point that he first thought that he could develop perfection pretty easily, but as he went on, the more he learned that he didn't know and that there was to learn. And I began doing that. He talked about what we commonly call a mastermind group. He called it a junta, J-U-N-T-O. When he was about 23, he and a few other young men of the city of Philadelphia began to meet on Friday evenings. And it was for mutual improvement and for the improvement of the community. And he chronicles in his autobiography what happened to these people. They were very common people, and yet they became big leaders of the country back then, a surveyor general, and on and on and on. The first subscription library came out of the minds of this group. The first volunteer fire department came out of this group. And I was fascinated with that, and so I began to do that. And somewhere in the process, I asked myself, if I could have been living back then and Benjamin Franklin was my mentor, how would it have gone? Mm-hmm. So I let my imagination, and that's what the book is. I designed a fictional character, Andrew Baldwin, that was me. And he was a poor clerk working in a store as I had been, and he met Benjamin Franklin, and Franklin became his mentor, and his whole life changed. He became very wealthy and very, very well known. And so the book chronicles all that and breaks it up into 10 laws that we call the 10 laws of wealth and abundance. And we see this this metamorphosis take place in Andrew's life, where he goes from different need levels to where he really gets to the point of asking himself, what is the whole purpose of life? You know, I've become rich and famous, and I found that there is no real fulfillment in that. What is there fulfillment in? And so, anyway, that's kind of a whole quick outline of the book.
Well, what I'd like to do is pick a couple of points. And for those of you that have just tuned into the show today, we're talking about the 10 laws of wealth and abundance, how to find out about the secrets of enjoying a plentiful supply of money. Ron Willingham is my guest. And Ron, you have in your book so many wonderful quotes, and there's one that I wanted to share with my audience, and it reads, "Wealth and abundance are constantly lurking in the shadows of each person's life, ready to enter when invited in." And that touched my mental buttons, because not too long ago I was talking with a woman who had been working with people and helping them to develop their financial leverage through investments, etc. She had a woman who was 80 years of age who was in the group and was in a very, very uncomfortable situation financially. And this woman said, "I really like what you're teaching. I really want to go forward, and I want to become independently wealthy." And this younger woman, which she said at 80, you know, "You're really interested in that?" But she didn't laugh at her or anything like that. Do you know, this woman went back to her at 93 years of age, and she was a multimillionaire.
Wow, isn't that incredible? That's the old Colonel Saunders success concept, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But your quote, that's the reason I wanted to share it, because independence financially can be achieved at any point in life. And when people will reach points, I had a conversation with an individual just before I came down on my business trip, and she's a young woman. She's only in her 40s, and she was saying, "I can't do this. I'm really in this situation, in that situation." She was going on and on and on, and she couldn't hear. I had to grab her attention to a point to say, "I want you to hear what I am saying." And finally, after a number of repetitions, it's like something went on in the mind. She had to shift her focus, go into another level of thinking and saying, wait a minute, I'm stuck. She's like a broken record. And let's talk about the very first law that you have in here. It's choose to be the master of your destiny.
Yeah, I think that's and that's the beginning point, Donna. And people can do this at any point of their lives. They can do it when they're 8 years old. They can do it when they're 80 years old. I've listened to tens of thousands of people in courses I personally have conducted, and I've received letters and emails and phone calls from many, many other people around the world who've been in our courses. It's my opinion that probably 85% of the people, and maybe even more, never sit down and look at themselves in the mirror and say, I choose to take full, complete responsibility for my life, mm-hmm. and then mean it, and then set goals to what they want to become, and work on reaching those goals. People just don't do that. They're not taught to do that. And in our formal education today, we're taught knowledge, but we're not taught how to run our lives. And that's what the book is about, and it's what my courses have been about. Is to do that, and until someone sits down and makes a decision, and we're willing to say, okay, I want to use what appear to be successes and what appear to be defeats or even failures as stepping stones, and I'm going to keep going despite these things, and I will reach specific goals I want to reach, and I take responsibility for that. That's a pretty heavy thing that frankly most people are not willing to accept. And maybe they've just not been taught to do that.
I believe that if we have good examples, and I think what you're doing through the training courses, through writing your books, and this book about this wonderful man that you have in the book, The 10 Laws of Wealth and Abundance, does such a wonderful job to reach a person's mind and to enable them to understand the simplicity of what you're trying to convey. I'd like to touch on another law, and it's the fifth law. It's increasing your income by multiplying your value to others.
Yes. our belief is that we all get paid consistent with the value we create for other people. Now, we weren't taught that in school either, were we?
No.
I learned that in college from an accounting teacher. I made a D in accounting, and he was gratuitous in giving me that. I never understood the difference between a debit and a credit. But this man kept saying, from very practical ways, when you get a job, if you'll give your employer more than you're paid for, you'll eventually get paid more. And at the time, I was working at an office supply store in the afternoons and walked in one day and saw that this, what we call the boiler room, was an entry. The thing was all dirty and nasty, and no one had cleaned it out. And I showed up one morning when we didn't have class to clean it out, and the boss looked at me, and I was in Levi's, and he said, "What are you doing down here looking like that?" And I said, "I came to clean the boiler room out," and went and got a dustpan and stuff, and I was back there sweeping this stuff up and sneezing and snotting and sneezing, you know, wheezing everything. And he came back and he said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm cleaning the boiler room out." And he said, "Who told you to do that?" And I said, "No one." And he said, "Then why are you doing it?" And I said, "Because it was dirty and it needed cleaning."
Mm-hmm.
He kind of cleared his throat and walked off. And this was in 1954. I was a senior in college. And now you know how old I am. The Friday he came up to me, instead of the bookkeeper handing me my check, he handed it to me, and with the nearest smile as he ever had, he said, "You'll notice something different in your check this week." I opened it up, and he gave me a 10-cent an hour raise. He'd raised me from 65 cents an hour to 75 cents an hour. And that was the single greatest lesson I learned in school. And I never forgot it. And it's been my observation as I look at people, and I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds of highly successful people, and hundreds of people who are not very successful. And I find that that's the distinguishing thing. When someone opens their eyes each morning and can look in the mirror and say to themselves that the purpose of my life is to create as much value for as many people as I can, that's my primary purpose. Oh, yes, there's a secondary point to this, and that is that I should and will be compensated consistent with that. But we can't focus on the compensation as a primary thing, and that's where so many people get out of Stefan, I think. And that may sound a bit esoteric to a lot of people, but it's the raw truth as I believe it.
Oh, I think it is not esoteric at all. I think it is very real. And that is something, too, that so frequently today when you encounter people, they'll say, I'm only going to do this. I'm not going to do any more. They're not paying me enough to do it. And they develop this attitude that just slams the door of life and opportunity closed.
You're exactly right.
And then they sit around and they whine.
Give me more pay for less work.
Correct.
Is the plague of and the predictor of poverty.
Yes, it is. So when someone like yourself, because you came out of a poverty environment and you learned these lessons, and so this book, which is absolutely wonderful for those of you listening, boy, if you had kids, I would get this as a gift for them and demand that they sit down and read it to you so they have an opportunity to absorb it. It's the 10 Laws of Wealth and Abundance. If as an adult you're going through some challenges, this is a must-read book. It is a book that's going to grab your attention because it's got a historical flavor to it. There is a wonderful character of American history, Benjamin Franklin, that's featured in it. But Ron Willingham, who is the author, has grabbed concepts and has conveyed them through this wonderful story that started 20 years ago that finally got to print just recently. And I feel so privileged to be able to share this with my audience. Ron, do you have a website that
people can go to? We do, Donna. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Those, you know, those are that's music in the ears of any writer who can hear those things. It can only be obtained on our website, and the website is the10lawsofwealth.com.
Now,
that's
10 spelled out.
The10lawsofwealth.com.
Okay.
They can Google my name, Ron Willingham, and click on it. They'll find it listed with other books I've written. But the only way that they can purchase it is to go to our website, the10lawsofwealth.com. Also on the website, there are a couple of assessments they can take free. One of them is what I call the 10 barriers of success and prosperity. The 10 barriers of financial freedom, I'm sorry. And then we have another self-assessment or financial freedom self-assessment I think they'll like. They'll have fun with our website. They can turn pages and do some things so they can play with it and have some fun. I would encourage everyone to go to that, the10lawsofwealth.com, and just kind of take a look at it and go through the assessments.
Well, Ron, it has been absolutely delightful having you on the air. Again, his book, The 10 Laws of Wealth and Abundance, The Secrets of Enjoying a Plentiful Supply of Money. And it's just not about money. It's about your life, integrity with yourself, with what your goals are, and the story is wonderful. You will want to read it not just once, but you'll want to have it handy. So whenever you're feeling like you're in a quagmire of confusion, you'll be able to go back and say, let me review these 10 laws. They will serve you well. Ron Willingham is my guest. Ron, thank you again so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Donna.
It's been a pleasure. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. This is Donna Sebo. Don't you go away now.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. Four out of the last eight Nobel Prizes in Physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website. Go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello and welcome. This is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know telephone lines are now open. I do know we have a caller that's waiting, but before I go to the caller, I've got a couple of things I want to mention. First, I want to give out our telephone numbers. If you're a new telephone, or excuse me, if you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted that you've been able to join us today. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, telephone lines are open at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, before I go to our first caller today, I do want to remind you that I'm appearing here this weekend. In fact, I'm going to be speaking tomorrow evening at the Wisdom Festival. You can go to their website, wisdomfestival.com. And you can get all kinds of details about parking, what the hours are, etc. This is an event here in San Francisco that is going to be bringing in speakers from all over the country, and we're going to be able to share concepts with you and ideas, maybe empowering you in some way that you did not feel empowered about before. I will be speaking tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, and this is going to be at the Fort Mason Center in downtown San Francisco. We were just over there today. Oh, what a gorgeous environment right there on the bay, and it's just absolutely wonderful. So if you're in the San Francisco area or in outlying areas, if you can make it in, come on in to the Wisdom Festival. Go to their website, wisdomfestival.com. I will be appearing there Saturday and Sunday, and I will be in booth 113. And you can check the scheduling as to where I'm going to be appearing for the speaking. So we are just going to have a great time, and I sure hope you'll stop by and say hello if you are in this part of the country. Well, let's go to our first caller today. I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for your patient first name or initial. And where are you calling from?
Adam in Shelton, Washington.
In Sultan. Oh.
Shelton.
Sultan. That's a place we pass many times when we go to Leavenworth.
Yeah.
Oh, quite an area. Okay, Derek, let's go right to business with you. The first thing I'm looking at, Autumn, is the setbacks that you have been experiencing. You should not, really, you shouldn't be too surprised with them, because they have been in the process of coming to full positioning for the last, I'm going to say, either 2 months or 2 years. It's been a while. And what I'm watching with you is I'm seeing you agitated because it's just not convenient, the situations that have evolved. You say, gee, couldn't it have waited a little bit longer? Well, if it had waited, if it had come early, it doesn't make any difference. Do what you need to do to get things in order. And if you do that, focus on that first. Then some of the other goals and objectives that you've sort of had shelved because of financial responsibilities, know you're going to be able to take care of them, but it's taking care of what needs to be taken care of today that you need to tend to. Don't try to get too far off in the future, because it's not going to work. You won't get done what needs to get done. And it's as if I want to just pull my working boots on and get my working apron on and say, roll up my shirt sleeves and say, okay, now it's now or never, and we're going to just get stuff done. And some people around you, some individuals, may be a little frustrated because you're not getting sidetracked into what they want you to focus on. But if you understand, if you stay true to what you know you need to take care of right here, right now, mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual, just stay focused, then you'll be able to make your choices and be free to do what you need to do. And you've got a couple of things health-wise that are just a little bit of a concern to you, but I really think if you do what you know you need to do for yourself, your concerns are pretty much going to be laid to rest. What's on your mind, dear?
I want to know if I'm going to be getting a job anytime soon.
Now, are you looking for work in Sultan, and what kind of work are you looking
for?
Well,
it's in Sultan, and I am hired at the casino, but because of the health things that you mentioned, it is setting me back. I mean, I have to wait now till the 24th. Every time I'm supposed to go, something else crops up, and then it's put back.
All right. What kind of work are you looking for?
Well, I was looking for clerical.
All right. Now, are you working? Are you an independent person? Are you interested in working as an independent individual, or did you want to work for a company?
Well, I am working for a company if I ever get there. I just want to know if I am ever going to get there.
Well, my answer is yes, you will get there. If you're working for a company, you need to take care of what needs to be taken care of right now. And if that means you pay attention to your health and do what you have to do for your health, you do that.
Okay.
You put things in the right priority. If you're not doing for yourself physically what you know you need to do for yourself to be well,
right,
you're sabotaging yourself.
Right, right.
So you have no one to blame.
No.
That's what you need to do. You need to sit down and really make an honest assessment. What is it that is the priority here? Then I think you'll be able to go back to work. Though you're working at a company, you need to ask yourself a question. Is that where you want to stay? If you are wanting to not stay there, if you're wanting to make sure that you're able to have an income that is going to continue for yourself, consider, once you've taken care of your priorities, those steps that you could take in your education that would refine your skills so that you could meet the needs, perhaps, of independent business people that would want to hire you on an hourly basis or on a monthly basis to do work for them.
Mm-hmm.
You would be able to generate an income for as many years as you'd want.
Okay. That works.
But you need to take care of what you have to focus on right now.
Right. I understand what you're talking about. I really do.
Well, I'm so glad, Autumn. And I appreciate your calling in.
Yes, I haven't talked to you for a long time, and it's good to hear your voice.
Well, I thank you so much for that, and it's a delight to be able to chat with you. And enjoy that gorgeous sunshine up in Sultan.
I will. Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hoyt.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, telephone lines are open. If you're in the U.S., 877-876-5227, Canadian 888-815-9756, and we also have another direct line of 530-876-3222. And don't forget, tomorrow I'm appearing at the Fort Mason Center here in downtown San Francisco. And we are going to be having two dynamic days. I'm going to be in booth 113. Go to their website, wisdomfestival.com, and you'll have all of the details. There will be maps there on how to get down here, just all kinds of good information for you to go through. So don't forget also that I'm going to be speaking at 7 o'clock in the evening tomorrow night at the Wisdom Festival, and my topic is going to be mental ecology. And you'll have to come to find out what that is all about. Donna Sebo here again. Give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. Well, you know, I had mentioned to you yesterday I was going to give you some information about Native American totems. Yes, well, I was only able, because of callers, to be able to give you one point of information, so let me give you a couple of others. July 23rd to August 22nd, the animal totem is the salmon. Now, what the salmon represented to the American natives is determination. Well, if you are like so many of us, you've seen pictures of salmon going up against the current, going back to the original place where they were born, and they have so much adversity in the water that they have to overcome to be able to go back to where they started from to lay their eggs so a new generation of salmon will be born. Well, that indicates purpose in the Native American mind, and this energetic fish is associated with perseverance because of its determination, as I just said, to swim upstream to spawn. And if you're born from July 23rd to August 22nd, you know what? You are one of the most generous people, and by golly, when you set your mind to a task, you are one that gets it done. Let's move on to August 23rd and September 22nd. August 23rd to September 22nd, the animal totem for that period, if your birthday falls into those time frames, is the bear. Wow, what a phenomenal animal. The bear represents protection, and in many North American tribes, bears are recognized as head of the animal council due to their strong and steadfast nature. Now, bears are also revered because of their caring for their young. And they say people that are born under this totem defend those that they care about. You're very, very protective about the people in your life, those that you value deeply. And then I want to give a third one, the raven. Now, what time period is that? That's September 23rd to October 23rd. Your animal totem, the raven, means that you are a peace-loving soul. And if ever you've been up to Alaska, you'll see ravens, and they're highly respected by the Eskimos. But they are huge, huge birds. Now, not only are they beautiful, but they are exceedingly intelligent. And the Native Americans recognize them because they said they are so smart, they accomplish so many things, and they have methods of communication that a lot of people are not aware of. So if you're born in that time frame, you're a fair person, you're energetic, very diplomatic, charming, ingenious. You have qualities that make you a natural entrepreneur. A problem? Well, sometimes you can be a little indecisive because you want to ensure that the best is going to be for everybody that might be involved in whatever you do. So those are three more totems, and then next week I'll finish off the rest. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more to go, and I will be sharing with you, if you've not heard your birthday announcements, we'll be able to give you more information about that next week. Donna Sebo here. I do want to let you know about the guests that are coming up next week. Wow, we've got a dynamic day. I am going to be talking to Stephanie Alexander on Tuesday about her wonderful site, Woman Savers. We're going to find out a lot of things that are going to help women. Also, on Wednesday of next week, we're going to be talking with William Federer. We're going to be talking about the history of income tax. Ah, yes. Don't we just love it? Well, you're going to be fascinated with all the information about this. And then, psychic spies. Ah, yes. Five Spies, True Stories About American Psychic Warfare. Yes, we have been involved with it, folks. And then Linda S. Bowlby, the Renaissance Woman, is the person that we're going to be talking with next Friday. A dynamic week, an informative week, and a week that will open your eyes to a lot of facts that you didn't even know existed. In the interim, we're going to be taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. I'm broadcasting live from San Francisco, California. Don't you go away. More good things to share.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, broadcasting live from San Francisco, California. So sorry, we just had a blip there, but we're right back on target. And if you want to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And also our direct line of 530-876-3222. Well, I know it's come into the fall season of the year and a little bit of crispy, cool weather in the air. But those grills are still outside, and I've got a wonderful recipe for you. If you like to cook outdoors and you want to have something that's really special, this is a recipe that's so simple to fix. If you like hamburgers, if you'd like that wonderful, wonderful grilled flavor that comes from barbecuing them out of doors, there's just nothing like it. It just tastes fabulous. When I found this recipe, it reminded me of something I did when I was a Girl Scout. Yes, I was a Girl Scout. They're called Inside Out Cheeseburgers. Now, this is something that's so easy. It's so flavorful. And in the Scouts, we did this kind of thing, and it was just absolutely delicious. Now, this is how it goes. It's a quarter of a cup of shredded cheddar cheese, a quarter of a cup of shredded Gruyere cheese. So it's quarter cup of each, or you can substitute anything, you know, any of your other cheeses that you might enjoy. If you like the hot pepper cheese, if you want something spicy, you can do that too. And then you need a pound of your 90% lean ground beef, 1 pound of beef, a tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, and 1.5 teaspoons of paprika, 1.5 teaspoons of paprika, and 1/4 teaspoon of freshly ground pepper. Now, you can do this on the broiler, or under the broiler, I should say, or on the grill. And I know we've got a caller, so I'm going to go to that caller, and when we come back, I'm going to give the rest of this simple recipe. Oh, there's so many things you can do with this, and it's so yummy. Family and friends are just going to love it, and it's easy. A little cleanup afterwards. Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Where are you calling from?
Hi, and Donna.
First name or initial, and where are you calling from, dear?
I'm Jeannie in Arkansas.
In Arkansas?
In Arkansas.
Where in Arkansas?
Can you tell?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
I said, can you tell?
Can I tell by your accent?
Yes.
No, not really, but that's okay.
I have a young friend that used to say that all the time because her accent was really strong. So every time I say I'm in Arkansas, I have to ask.
I love it. I've got a sister-in-law in Arkansas, and she is a sweetheart.
Well, people are.
Okay, hon. Now, let me give you some information, and then you can ask me about anything you like. And, Jeannie, again, I didn't hear where in Arkansas you're calling from.
I'm actually in North Little Rock.
North Little Rock?
Yes. And there is a hum on my phone. I apologize. I'm trying to get the phone company to take care of that, so I hope it hasn't interfered too much.
No, it hasn't. Good. I can hear a little bit of it, but it's not going to distract me at all.
Good.
Okay, Janie, the first thing that is coming into my mind is don't grieve. Do not grieve. You are starting into a brand new environment in your life with a new purpose, a totally new direction, and I feel this heaviness of the heart because there is a closure that is occurring much more quickly about certain aspects of your life. And in this closing out of a period of your life with certain associations, there is this awareness and a little bit of sadness. And I want to say, don't be sad, because what you're evolving towards and what you're going to get involved with, all of the lessons, all of the wealth of insight and knowledge that you have gained from your life the past 10 years, you're going to be able to bring into a very positive package of sharing for other people. And I'm seeing you making the difference in a number of people's lives, and I'm seeing you standing up in front of small groups of people and sharing with them. You're talking with them from your heart, and you are giving a level of education that is really changing their lives. So you are phasing out of something that it's time to let it go, and you're phasing into something new. And the only thing you need to remember is you don't have to worry about the money. You're a pretty good manager of money. What you do have to be concerned with and thoughtful about, and this is not from a positioning of fear, it is from a positioning of understanding, you must get your rest. When you don't get your rest, you usually end up being closed down. In other words, you just sort of crash and burn. And you don't need to have that happen to you. What question do you have for me?
Well, that describes what you're saying. I'm going into much of what I have been in the past, and I've been in a rather stagnant place and have been concerned about moving forward and getting more consistent with meditation again and getting back into that space. So thank you very much. That was awesome.
You are more than welcome, Janie. Be sure to tell your friends about the show, too.
I will. I have just been a new listener myself, and I've heard a couple of your segments at times, but just segments. And I was home early this afternoon, actually. I thought, oh, good, turn on BBS.
Fabulous.
And I very much respect each and every one of you that I have been able to listen to. It made me want to cry here. Really touched my heart. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and I just love what I do, and I'm so glad that you're able to enjoy it.
And I don't have a question so much, I guess, as I would just like to ask for your prayer, if you will, to help me get that momentum going with meditation and getting on with things then.
Oh, I think you've already got the momentum. I think you've already got what you need. You know what in your heart it means the most to you, and just be true to that.
That brings to mind what you mentioned about the rest. Part of the stagnation has been from being so exhausted all the time. Is there anything else I should do in order to...
What I would say to you is this. Know you are worthy of the kindness and attention and patience with yourself that you need to give yourself. Treat yourself as your best friend. And in that manner, you'll be able to be as abundantly giving to others as possible. But take care of number one first.
Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome.
I do have one other question. I know that a lot of times we can chat with the host versus the telephone. How do we do that?
Well, I don't know what you're referring to. If you're talking about a blog or if you're talking about a chat room, I do not have a blog or a chat room at this time.
I guess what I'm saying is I've heard some of the hosts say that some people like instant messaging, I guess would be the word to use, so that they can listen and still get a question asked without...
I see what you're saying. All right, I am not in a position to do that at this
moment.
But I would say if you wanted to email me for any reason, and typically I prefer talking to people on the air.
Right.
And with my schedule, I'm not always in a situation where I have access to email or I have the equipment with me, especially if I'm traveling, like I don't right now at this moment. So if you wanted to email me,
I got your email address while you were speaking a few minutes ago.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. So you can do that, and then I'm also available for counseling, and there's my 800 number. You can go to my website. If you've got my email, you also
know. I did that too, yes, ma'am.
Yes. So I'm not unreachable. I just am just one of these traveling ladies.
Well, I very much admire you, and it's a pleasure speaking with you today, and may God bless you always, compassion, peace, happiness, and joy.
Well, I'm so glad. You have a fabulous day, and enjoy the rest of your summer, because fall's coming in.
Yes, it is.
Take care, my dear.
Do you see me moving real quick?
Not right now, no.
Okay.
Focus on yourself.
Okay.
All right, my dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. Quickly, I'm just going to remind you because I know we're running out of time here. I forgot the cheeseburger. Oh, okay, I'll get it together. Let me give it to you quickly because I've got about 2 minutes here. Remember, you want to preheat your grill or your broiler, and you put your cheeses in a bowl, you know, the two shredded cheeses that you like, and then put those to the side. Mix your beef, your sauce, your paprika and pepper in a large bowl. Just mix it with your hands. You don't want to work it too much. Shape it into 8 4-inch wide patties, and you mound 2 tablespoons of the cheese on each of the patties, leaving about a half-inch border, and then cover each with one of the remaining patties. Crimp and seal your edges. And it takes about 4 minutes per side for medium well, and you don't want to press them. When you're fixing them on the grill, don't take that spatula and press them down because the juices and the cheese and everything will just ooze out through that seam. So what you want to do is just let the grill do its work. Same with the broiler. Flip them, and you're going to find that you'll be able to have this wonderful, wonderful stuffing on the inside that when people bite into it, they just go, with all those delicious flavors. And remember, if you want to add some jalapeno peppers or anything extra in there, you can do that too. And this has been wonderful. Have a marvelous day. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You have so much to give life. Don't ever forget, only you can do the giving. But if you give to yourself first, and if you polish yourself so that you represent the best, you're going to shine so brightly, people are going to tap you on the shoulder and say, what is it that you've got? How did you get to where you are? And you're going to have the wonderful opportunity of telling them and showing them how they can shine just as brightly as you do. This is Donna Sebo. God bless. I'll be talking with you next week. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.